Oh, such a powerful song. That is Grace Potter's Big White Gate here on 98.3 The Penguin. Such a powerful song anyway. And then when I have a special guest joining me from the Lower Cape Fear Hospice, it's just, well, I may need some tissue to pull it together, because it's just absolutely a perfect song and sets the stage for the important work that we're going to talk about that Lower Cape Fear Hospice is doing. I have, as I said, a very special guest, Kimberly C. Paul. She's been for 18 years involved with Lower Cape Fear Hospice here in the area. We are delighted to welcome you into our Bob King Igloo.
Thanks so much.
We've been having just way too much fun. In fact, by the way, if you guys are on Facebook right now, you can tune in and see us live here in the Bob King Igloo as well. We've been having a great time introducing her to the staff. She basically was holding a court out there. She got such a warm welcome. She's a bit
I think y'all are made to do that. I was like, look, when she comes in, y'all have to stand there and just smile and just like what she has to say.
Well, she's a bit of a rock star too. If so many of you out there know about TED Talks. And when I found out that you had done one, I couldn't get to it and watch it fast enough. And what an experience that must have been for you.
Oh, it was a lot of pressure. But I will say this, a lot of prep, and I was scared to death.
I bet.
Since we're talking about death. I will say this. It was such an amazing experience working with Ty and Tech Mountain and all those guys over there, and good friends like Ellen Long, and doing those TED Talks. It was really a huge experience. What was amazing was to have my staff, of some of them have been working with me for 17 years, in the audience, and one of a couple of my best friends too. That to me was what it's about.
Sure.
And you know, after 18 years, you come up with a philosophy that you really want to make a difference at end of life. And I think that I want to normalize the death and dying conversation. And how do you do that? You know, we're Generation X, and there's millennials coming up, and you've got the baby boomers, and we all talk different languages, and how do we tend to relate? Now, there's some people like, I just did a TED Talk. And they're like, what's a TED Talk? I'm like, yeah, never mind. And go on to the next person.
Right.
But I feel very fortunate to have been a part of that whole process.
And to have, I know you were talking before we got on air too about the what's coming to you from that, from having done a TED Talk. And for those of you out there that don't know, TED is probably the most esteemed, one of the most esteemed organizations out there. What's the tagline? It's like a three-word tagline for TED.
Spreading ideas worth
sharing?
Sharing.
I think it is. Yeah,
something along those lines.
Something like that. It is very powerful. So again, props to you. We digress a little bit. We're not here to focus on TED. We are here to focus on the Lower Cape Fear Hospice. For any of you out there, this is one of our great privileges to get to shine these lights on local voices here in our community. And Kimberly Paul has been doing so much with the work here in Lower Cape Fear Hospice, which I guess started here in Wilmington in 1980.
And I will say this, I appreciate you saying that I'm doing all the good work, but I'm the megaphone.
Right.
We have so many clinical individuals and nurses and chaplains and CNAs, and doctors and social workers and volunteers. They're the gurus of what hospice is all about. And that's, I get to share their stories, and I get to work with these extraordinary people. And when you think about being with people in this kind of rare end of life moment, the life lessons you learn and the stories that you hear from your colleagues who are at the bedside. And I fortunately have gotten to meet so many people at their end of life, and you walk away thinking, oh man, you work for hospice, that must be really sad. I'm telling you, it has been the biggest and greatest classroom I've ever experienced. They teach you every day to live boldly. And some people who have, you know, not so good end of life experiences, they teach you, like, if that's not what you want, then they still are teaching you huge lessons about life. I say, you know, hospice has nothing to do with death. It has to do with the living. When individuals die within hospice care, we move on with the living for 13 months for individuals through bereavement and support groups. And so it's all about the living. How do we live boldly? And that's where the challenge is. And I, just like in my TED Talk, I have problems with that. You know, I go home and sometimes face plant and veg out to television.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all born to connect.
Right.
And sometimes I even myself put things in between that, the phone, Facebook, and
computer.
And, yeah. And that's what it was so cool about today, talking to all the staff here at this organization, is like we were connecting.
Mm-hmm.
We were relating face to face. And so that's sometimes very rare these days.
No doubt about it. We've got Kimberly C. Paul in representing all of the good people at the Lower Cape Fear Hospice, wanting to shine a light on some of the work that they're doing here in the area. I kind of work with the assumption that everybody knows what hospice is. Do you run into people that really don't know what that's all about, hospice and palliative care?
Yeah, I think people have misconceptions of what hospice is. A lot of people think they hear the H word and they're like, oh, I'm dying. You know, it's we're all dying, aren't we? I mean, it's not an option. It's a destination, and that we all are going to face this one day. Some of us are just given a timeline.
Mm-hmm.
And that's hospice comes in and provides services in your home. The majority of our patients are in their own home, who are choosing that, hey, treatment's not for me anymore. And it's causing more harm for me than comfort, and I want quality. And a lot of people, there's a Duke University study years ago that talked a little bit about people who have better quality of life on hospice and who live longer on hospice care. So those who are making those choices, we come in and provide all of these services in the home. And then we also have several care centers that are an option too, if people are having problems with pain and symptom management. The amazing thing that's going on right now is this whole push of palliative care. And again, it's another word like, what's that?
That's a newer word for me. I know,
right.
I only started hearing that word a few years ago.
Well, you know, I describe it like this. Palliative is part of hospice, but hospice is not always part of palliative. And to palliate is to examine what's going on. And right now in this disease management system we live in called healthcare, we were focused on the disease, and we have so many physicians coming in and out advising us. And so some of our team are at the hospital, but they're also in the homes. But we come in and be like, okay, here's what's going on. These are your options, and these are some of the results of those options. But let's talk about what you want, and let's navigate the system together. So it is a consulting practice, and it's a specialty, mm-hmm. just like cardiology.
Right.
So we're really fortunate. We have around 26, 27 full-time providers, which are NPs, MDs, PAs, and a lot of people don't realize that.
That is fantastic. That is Kimberly C. Paul, VP of Communications and Outreach with Lower Cape Fear Hospice. We have more from her here in just a couple moments, but of course we're going to get back to the music. A long-standing cherished song in the Penguin Library. This is Shavers, Live Forever, here on the Penguin. It's a beautiful song. It's Shaver here on 98.3, the Penguin, Live Forever. And certainly, as we're talking here with Kimberly C. Paul from the Lower Cape Fear Hospice, the truth and the reality is we are not going to live forever, not at all. So that's where Lower Cape Fear Hospice comes in. I want to thank you once again for joining us. For any of you folks out there, this is just one of our local voice spotlights here, connecting our community, as we were just talking. We're also Facebook Living, so you can even get a little live action video if you want right now. Let's go back for just a minute. You've been with Lower Cape Fear Hospice for 18 years.
18.
How did you get into this work?
Oh, gosh. Oh, wow. Well,
and you're in a sentence.
Well, yeah, it's
sentence.
A long story, and, you know, I'll keep it G-rated. I came down for the film industry and a relationship at the time, and I had some hospice experiences, and they were looking for a volunteer coordinator, and I thought, well, gosh, I'll volunteer. Well, when I got there, it was a paid position. I was like, heck, for, you know, 6-7 months will be great. Get a little money. And then I was promoted like within 2 years to this position that I hold now. And man, 18 years goes by in a flash. I don't know where the time has gone. I mean, I hear my dad like, man, time flies. And when you're a kid, you're like, man, Christmas never comes. But now it's like it does. The seasons come and go. And I cannot believe I've been there 18 years.
And what was it that drew you into that work? Like,
well, you know, I've always been a storyteller. And I didn't realize death and dying can be a controversial subject, and you know, everybody has an opinion about it. And but when I started really relating to the volunteers and why they were contributing and volunteering with hospice, about 80% of them had a personal experience. And then you start hearing these stories that really are teaching you more about life than death. And I got hooked. And then I just tried to really be creative in how we talk about death and dying. And again, I mean, I never would have thought when I was in my early 20s or even my childhood that I would be called to talk about death and dying. And I think if you're still long enough in life, your life finds you.
Right.
And hospice found me and found my calling, which is really interesting. And it's through the eyes of the dying that I've really learned how to live. So, like I said, it's been the greatest journey that, you know, is actually coming to a close for me. And I'm going through the whole grief process. And when you're with the agency for 18 years and you're leaving the agency, we're still going to be doing a lot of creative projects together because that is my family, that's my home. But you know, it is moving on, and so I'll be leaving hospice sometime in December full time, but being contracted with them with some creative projects. But it's sort of bittersweet, to tell you the truth.
Of course it is. I'm sure such a grieving process to go through with that. And so she was talking on air, off air before we jumped on, about some of the folks that are starting to hear about her transition. So I want to make sure that everybody out there knows she is leaving that position and that full-time engagement, but is certainly still going to be here and around and doing some work, as you were just saying.
Yeah, I'm really going to be doing a lot of stuff when it comes to death and dying and education, but I will always be hooked to Lower Cape for Hospice, and I'm just really proud to be a part of that organization. And it's the people. And that's where, you know, I've been there 18 years, and I've had the same CEO, and the organization is going through, you know, other changes, and we are just have a new CEO, Gwen Whitley, who's been there for 8-9 years under a clinical director VP role. And you know, her vision is about the employees, taking care of the employees who take care of the dying. And I'm really excited for the organization to see this new chapter. We've only had 3 CEOs in the history of the organization, which talks to you a little bit about the longevity and the commitment and loyalty from the staff. But I will say also, we're a nonprofit. We're mission-driven. And we feel at Lower Cape for Hospice that the community, that they own us.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's because of all the donations and the people contributing because of the care they've gotten at the bedside that we're able to do things like build care centers and look at gaps at the end of life and start creating services that fill those gaps. And we're doing a lot of that with our volunteer services too.
You know, I was going to ask you a question about what is perhaps most rewarding with the work, and you maybe have just answered it a couple of minutes ago in talking about how you've been learning about life through facing death, and having 18 years experience. Is that correct? Is that probably the most rewarding thing?
Yeah, it is. I mean, when you meet people at the end of life and they already know they're dying, they're so vulnerable. You know, I remember, throughout the years, we've had about 6 staff go through our own services, and it rocks your world, you know, when you meet someone and you don't know them, but you get to know them. But when you've been working with individuals for years and they are diagnosed with something, you know, when that happens, it totally changes your whole perspective, just your viewpoint on life. But there's been a couple of patients that make me giggle just till today. I mean, there was one day I was having such a hard time, and we have this children's bereavement room with these huge bean bags. And I would go in there and just sort of either cry or meditate or like, I mean, death is heavy sometimes. It really is. And the loss that all of our staff are feeling sometimes when you connect with people. And I went down there one day and there was this guy painting. And he was a hospice patient, a home hospice patient, and he was coming in to paint because he was an artist. And I was working with our healing arts person, Lorraine Perry, and we got to every Tuesday he would come in, and it got to the point that I was leaving, going back up to work. I just came down to say hi, and he's like, "Hey, you know, I'm from New York. People kiss goodbye." And I was like, "What?" Yeah, people kiss goodbye. I was like, oh, okay. So I kissed him on the cheek. He's, that is not how we kiss. And so I'm like, and he puckered up, and I'm like, oh, what? And I was like, all right. So I went down and kissed him. And as soon as I kissed him, I came back up and I looked, and there was my old CEO, and he was actually patting me on my butt. And my CEO's like, what's going on here? And I just walked by her, and I was like, die and wish. You know, it's just like that. And she just chuckled. And so there's stories that just remind you that humor is still a big role. And I believe that people are going to die as they lived. And this gentleman was a flirt all his life.
That's awesome.
He was going to take full advantage of me during his last days. And he totally did. I'll never forget it either. And with his little lips. And I still have a painting in my office that he painted for me. And I will take that with me because it reminds me that people are human, even while we're living, as we're dying. And if you can find the humor in some difficult situations, man, it's a gift.
No doubt about it. And of course, this is just something everybody has to, death is a part of life. I mean, it is going to be there. So finding whatever best ways there are to cope. That is the voice of Kimberly C. Paul with the Lower Cape Fear Hospice. We can't thank you enough for coming in
and
helping us to shine a light on the work that you guys are doing. I mean, everybody out there has encountered hospice just about in some form or fashion, or certainly will. There's a tremendous organization here in our area to help you out. Of course, you guys are online. The website is lowercapefearhospice.org.
Yeah, or it could be www.lcfh.org. And, you know, if you are interested, we are now expanding our volunteer services, and you don't have to sit by someone who's dying. We're walking dogs. I mean, what gift do you have, and how can you share that with the organization? So we could even create a whole new volunteer experience. But yes, if you or someone you love is facing a chronic illness and you just need someone to talk to, we're here. We're here for you. And if you have a family member in a state that is far away and you don't know what to do, call us and we will help navigate and get you whatever you need. You live in our community. We want to take care of you and get you to the right people, no matter, even that's outside of Wilmington.
So yeah, for everybody out there, if you're in need yourself, if you'd like to get involved and help, if you'd like to donate, of course, I know you guys had the big Last Chance for White Pants Gala, is the big one of the year as we approach the holidays.
Yeah, Festival of Trees is
Festival
coming
of Trees
up.
Is coming.
The information is online. Tonight we're down in Horry County honoring three pioneers with Mercy Care, who we've partnered with down there. So it's just a great organization. And I think a lot of people in the community know that, and I'm preaching to the choir, but it's because of the community. They've make us who we are, and the staff are amazing at this organization, and I'm thoroughly going to miss it, but I'm looking on to the next chapter too.
All right. Well, we wish you the best in your next
chapter.
Thank you. We've had a blast. We could keep you here all day long, but I guess we better get back to the business here of the music and such. We've got Drew Holcomb and the Neighbors up for you right now with another song called Live Forever. That's absolutely beautiful here on the Penguin.